This might sound obvious, but AI chatbots could transform how some people chat. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. The language models behind artificial intelligence chatbots aren't just great at generating term papers, fake Drake raps, and get-rich-quick schemes, which is how you see a lot of people using them on social media. This technology could be transformative in the world of augmentative and alternative communication, also known as AAC. That refers to all the ways people communicate besides talking. Usually, people who, due to a medical issue or disability, experience difficulty with speech. It's a field Sam Sennett has spent much of his career on. He's an assistant professor of special education at Portland State University. And he says this is an exciting time for AAC.
There are so many technological advancements that have helped people with disabilities communicate. But it's kind of funny because this isn't that new for us. Some of the first hardware for AAC on computers came out in the 1970s, and it's developed over time, harnessing AI innovations like word prediction and dynamic word prediction models.
And how does something like predictive text change the communication experience for users?
We see great benefits from word prediction. It can speed things up for people who have a very low rate of keystroke, so like their typing speed. The other piece is it can add a dynamic element in that our modern prediction tools can really bring contextual factors in, like the time of day or where you are, who you're speaking to, and topics you may be studying at work or school or the conversation you're having. And so being able to access all that language and have that served up for you instead of typing it all out, it may be less fatiguing. It may add different elements, such as more dynamic storytelling in real time. One of the things that people who use AAC have often said is that the speed of communication matters for them. And their challenge of having to write to talk often gets in the way. And people make assumptions about their communication and their intelligence with these factors.
Are there any downsides in using text prediction like this?
One of the downsides is certainly that it doesn't feel like your voice. When you have longer utterances that are computer generated, people talked about wanting it to be theirs, to be their voice, and not losing their personality using word prediction. And what we've learned in AAC, often with children, but through the life course, is this motor memory matters. And so when you introduce prediction, it's a bit of a cognitive task to evaluate those predictive options. If it makes it so that it's difficult and not very fluent to communicate, it's not easy for you, that you don't develop some automaticity, it can be very unnerving.
Now, I understand AI can also be used for something called voice banking. What is that?
Oh, yes. Voice banking is recording different speech samples of your voice so that you can then generate a speech synthesis voice that you could use if you have disabilities. So people who have degenerative disabilities are able to capture their voice, and with recent innovations in natural language processing and machine learning, this is much easier on the technological side. And so voice banking matters for a lot of people, that feeling of your voice, and for family and friends, hearing that familiar resonance and tone, that speech that they're familiar with matters a lot. Other people like Professor Hawking really valued using that computer sounding speech synthesis voice that they always did.
Now, on the show, we talk a lot about problems with bias in AI. Obviously, we live in an imperfect world. Some of those biases get magnified by these systems. Is that a concern with these communication systems at all?
Bias in these systems is really important. With these large language models, there's kind of a balance of what people are really saying, what they intend to say. is that communication utterance from that person? Do they really mean it? And so we have some fears there. Where I'm most concerned, though, around AI and AAC is not so much around the prediction, but it's in these areas around assessment and prediction. And so in health, it's very exciting to have these predictive models, these augmented intelligence models for health. However, when you have bias built into the system and racism built into the system, you can experience a lack of opportunity because of what the predictive model says. For instance, when I lived in South Florida, there were young people who were described as too disabled to benefit from speech therapy. And these are people who, through the work we do, giving them augmentative communication systems, are flourishing and absolutely benefit from that support. And so when you have a more static rule-based model that says, these people are too disabled for this, this is a prerequisite for that, you set up these barriers. And so I think predictive models around assessment, there's a great opportunity to serve more people. And I think we have a little more work to do to protect against some of the bias.
What is at the cutting edge of AAC technology today?
The latest new AAC tools that have become very popular are eye tracking systems. And so the latest iPhones with the cameras that can do the facial recognition can support this. And you can control the computer type with your eyes. It feels like magic. There's also some amazing non-invasive brain-computer interfaces where through reading your brain waves, you can control the computer similar to that eye tracking or pressing on a button. Some of the things that are so exciting are simple tools like giving teachers, speech pathologists, instructional assistants access to low-cost computing hardware and all of the information for how to help people develop a language system and support their autonomy.
You mentioned Stephen Hawking. I think a lot of people may be familiar with the assistive technology that he used, which at the time was kind of the top of the line, designed by Intel to allow him to speak using his cheek muscles. Are we at a point where that kind of technology is actually accessible to most of the people who need it?
Companies like Intel have made that software open source. There's a lot of relatively low-cost softwares and hardwares that people can access to type with their cheek or use eye tracking to control a computer. But what we see is, despite the relative ubiquity of this hardware and software all around us, there's many children with autism, many people with various disabilities who don't have access to these, what should be free and ubiquitous tools. I have a currently incurable cancer called multiple myeloma, which is very complicated and challenging. I had a stem cell transplant. Coming back and feeling much better, I feel inspired to listen to the people with disabilities who have this lived experience. And when we think about that we're charging so much money to people who have disabilities who can't use their speech to communicate, it doesn't feel right, and it doesn't feel just. And I think with all the excitement around this latest set of innovations in generative language models, we have a great opportunity to right some of that wrong and re-envision what's possible. So I feel a lot of thankfulness that I've learned that it's not about technology. It's about people. One of the silly kind of funny things about these large language models is that imagine the child who comes in and is able to access all these jokes so easily. And it's a great way to connect with people and make friends, to be able to have fun and socialize and joke around.
Sam Sennett at Portland State University. Now, Sam wanted to stress that he's not the best person to interview about this topic, though he's clearly very thoughtful and knowledgeable on the subject, and has direct experience co-creating an app-based AAC system called ProloQuo2Go. He does not, though, have direct experience as a user of AAC technology. For that perspective, he pointed us to a recent paper by researchers working with Google's accessibility team, which tested predictive text using a large language model with 12 AAC users to gauge the benefits and the challenges. It's titled "The Less I Type, the Better: How AI Language Models Can Enhance or Impede Communication for AAC Users." We've got a link to that paper and an accompanying video at our website, marketplacetech.org. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.